You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Good morning. Welcome to this week's edition of the Yarra Bicycle Users Group radio show on 3CR, Radical Radio, broadcasting from Naram, Melbourne, Australia. We're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Thank you to Democracy Now for the last hour of current affairs. My name's Chris, and Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a show about bikes, cycling, advocacy, adventures, news, and all sorts of things around the cycling universe. And topic du jour is e-bikes. And I'll have a little bit more to say that in a moment. But on today's show, I'm going to be chatting to Rochelle Anderson. And she's helping with the new Boroondara e-bike library. That's out at the Surry Hills Neighbourhood House, and we'll have a chat about that after a few announcements. And as I said in the intro, e-bikes, the news is everywhere at the moment. And if I can just kind of take you back on a little bit of ancient history, it may or may not have anything to do with what's going on now, but it kind of shows what happens when something goes out of spec and other modes of transport or other platforms get pulled into an edict or a directive. Now, if you remember going back to around about 2008, 2009, V-Line was bringing in new, car sets and all the rest of it. Now, the Velocity carriages is what I'm talking about, and they had about a third less storage space on them. Bear with me, I'll get to the point in a minute. And what happened is that there was an edict came out, or a directive came out of the then Public Transport Division. They probably got their side of the story, and it's probably completely different to what I'm saying. But bikes were then banned across the network, including the then Connex operators. And, yeah, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. And I can understand, yes, we do need to have some rationale and some regulations about how you take bikes on trains and what time and all the rest of it during peak hours and storage and all that. Yep. And luckily back then, we had a public transport minister, the late Lynn Koski, who was prepared to sit down and talk to stakeholders and the public and everyone to get a good outcome. Now, what we're dealing with here, to park that for a moment, what we're dealing with here right now is, well, you know the phrase, the new and emerging technologies of e-bikes. Now, there is an issue, and we've probably, touch base upon this on the show a bit, and it's the batteries, low-end and dodgy kit conversions. Now, the problem with banning bikes on trains, I can understand and totally emphasise with the safety aspects of it. They're not trying to downplay that at all. But we're seeing stuff like from Germany, overseas, London, I think some of the deeper tunnels there as well. We're seeing I think I was watching last night, one of the parliamentary inquiry things in Queensland. Also, there is signage appearing in Sydney. It was kind of like asking you nicely not to take this on, these devices on trains. These are issues, but the issue is at point of sale, grey imports, and dodgy kit conversions. And this is something that the authorities at state and federal level have got to grapple with instead of blame sheeting it straight back to the end user. Where do we go from with banning things that you may think are dangerous on public transport? Well, chairs, other forms of do we go down to laptops, devices? There've got to be more stringent regulatory stuff around this. And again, going back a long time ago on the show, might be a few years ago, I spoke to a person, I think it was Davis, from the gig workers hub in the city. Now, you may like the convenience of getting your food in the last few years, you know, delivered to you, because we've had, you know, a cultural shift with people, you know, being at home a lot more or not wanting to go out after a busy day. So we've had, you know, the delivery apps emerge, which is, you know, Hungry Panda, DoorDash, Uber Eats, all that sort of thing. And that economy and that industry has been borne out because of relatively, and I'm not trying to have a go at you if you do use these services, but yeah, relatively affluent people wanting something. And now we're getting this, oh, delivery workers, this, that, and the other. They're acting or behaving in a certain way because people like you want a service. You may not like that, but that's the way it is. You want something, you want it to your door, you want it fast, and invariably things get compressed within that industry and, you know, we get results where, oh, they're going too fast, or that, you know, there's issues to do with, you know, shared use of paths, footpaths, roads, all the rest of it. You know, you know yourself, you probably read these articles about, you know, gig workers doing this and what and the other. Okay, a lot of gig workers, I can't tell you the exact percentage, but they live outer to middle suburbs, and they use the trains to get in, to come into the inner and the inner suburbs and the CBD to work. It's a really precarious way of earning your living. You've seen these people? You've seen them working so goddamn hard to get your food, or, you know, from some, you know, dark kitchen or whatever, to you. Just take a step back and have a think about what is the actual issues here. They're getting, you know, they're doing what they can to get a, you know, a bike or whatever that's fit for their purpose. So they're getting something that's pretty hotted up in terms that can fang around. And, okay, rightly or wrongly. But the issue sits with the type of bikes that are causing the issues. And I'm just going from a non-scientific perspective. I am not an expert in this area. But the things that I've seen with we're getting onto the train fires with some of these e-bikes, they look like kit conversions. We're not talking a Bosch motor here. We're talking kit conversions, grey imports, and some dodgy stuff. That can be stopped at the point of entry, and that's up to the federal government to do that. I know it's a pretty Wild West stuff out there, what you can buy online, but it's up to the federal government to invariably enforce regulations and not actually mess things up at the other end, which are some of the most vulnerable people working in that gig industry. And, you know, people always, that's the thing. I've said this quite a few times over the show over the years. People love punching down. They like to have a go at someone who can't fight back. Well, have a think about the issues. Break it apart. If you want to do something about the so-called e-bike bans that are kind of looming, there's quite a few people out there who are getting organised. The best thing you can do today is just do your own little bit of research. And, God, I hate that phrase, but, you know, I'm going to co-opt it back for the purposes of good. And contact your local state MP with your issues and tell them that the issue sits at point of sale, that, you know, DTP, PTV, whatever you want to call it in Victoria, you understand that they have safety concerns. The unions, absolutely point blank, do have safety concerns over some of these. Like a lithium battery fire is terrifying. But the issue sits at these things, okay? You can ban them, but they're still out there in the community and on the streets. They should not be in that. This stuff should never have been landed. And the issue sits at Fed government. There's probably a pile of more things I could have put into that. But that's just, the bare bones what I can talk about at the moment. But what you do right now is contact in Victoria and also wherever you're listening, your state MP, and tell them what needs to be done. And your experiences, because there's a lot of people who need e-bikes to get around. It's a mixed mode. We saw the same thing back in 2008, 2009, when a couple of us started a campaign called Bin the Bike Ban, and to do with Connects. And it was actually not Connects' issue, as I said earlier. It came out of PTV. Oh, sorry, no, PTV didn't exist then in that form. It was the Public Transport Division. So things kind of get a bit of creep when it comes to enforcement. Rightio. I'm sorry if I missed out anything there, but I'm just trying to give you an overview. And watch Bicycle Network and the Bicycle User Groups and the like for more updates on that. And there's some good stuff happening in Queensland that's worth having a look at. News and events. Well, like many around the Inner North and elsewhere, we're pretty distraught over the passing of John Englert. And last week, Andrea, Faith and Val did an absolutely beautiful show in respect to him. Today, there is a memorial service or a celebration of his life up in Faulkner. That's today. It starts at noon. And if this Faraday cage of a studio works for me, well, actually doesn't work as a Faraday cage. Today at noon to 4 p.m., Monday the 28th, at St. Mark's Church Hall. It's in the hall, not the church, on the corner of Lee and Sydney Road up in Faulkner. The easiest way to get up there is probably by get off at the Faulkner train station and walk across. And with John's, normal... someone I knew for a couple of decades, and I find it's really difficult to talk about someone you knew for so long in past tense. It's quite, yeah. In true John fashion, please attend in your favourite, most outrageous and climate-conscious clothes. No traditional black required. We would also love for you to share any of your favourite memories, photos or stories by emailing john.englert.memorial@gmail.com. So hopefully I'll see a few of you up there today. This one's going to take a long time to deal with because I knew John via Critical Mass and a bunch of things going back decades. And the thing I take from this was one of the last things he did, and it's online. It's on the platform previously known as Twitter. I like to call it something else, but it's a bit early in the morning for that. Because he was an absolute couch peloton enthusiast for the... Tour de France, and you probably would have been watching the Tour Femmes that just started, and it was one of the last photos he put out with him and the puppies were going to bed early Saturday night, a fortnight ago. Oh, I'm going to miss you, John. You're an absolute gem of a human. Okay, I'll try and pick myself up here. We do have a lot of news happening in Yarra. Okay, for something coming up, we've got a couple of campaigns in train. Apparently something is going to happen with Elizabeth Street, and we've got a new campaign where we've got it on the Yarrabug website under Safe Streets, Yarra for Safe Streets. I've got a little thing where you can contact Melissa Horn or Gabriel Williams. Also, Gabriel Williams is someone you should contact very, very quickly and very forthrightly and politely about the e-bike stuff I just mentioned in the intro. But to contact them about your feelings and your observations and reasons why people or council should not be messing around with regulatory stuff to do with bike widths. There's a whole bunch of other things I could talk about this as well. Streets Live Yarra have on their website an FOI. We all went and got this. It was a freedom of information thing to do with the actual plans that we didn't get to see because they didn't get voted on because people wanted to... make their own, play road engineers on the designs. So go have a look what we could have voted on. As I said, there was something for everyone. And the other thing we've got coming up relates to all of that. Just bring this up in this lovely Faraday cage of a thing. It just got a little bit of a delay here. We'll get to the interview with Rochelle in a moment. Just bear with me. On the 8th of August, we have organised an event, The Future of North Richmond. People, bikes, cars and housing come to a forum of community members to discuss what we want with Elizabeth Street and the North Richmond precinct, what we want it to look like in the next 10 to 20 years. It's 6 p.m. To 8 p.m. Thursday, the 7th of August. Sorry, I got it wrong there. It's the 7th of August. It's going to be on the ground floor community room, 106 Elizabeth Street, Richmond. You register to attend at Humanitix. I've also got, we've done a mirror site through to the Yarrabug site, so go to yarrabug.org. And we'll be discussing the likely increase in housing and population, the Elizabeth Street bike lanes, and how car parking works in the area now in the future. We will have presentations on Housing. What sort of housing we'll have in 10 to 20 years? Cars. What does car parking in North Richmond look like now and in the future? Bikes. Elizabeth Street. Protected bike lanes and how they can meet future transport needs. We will then open the floor to a moderated discussion and question time. Please register for a speaker ticket if you would like to speak. Ideally, we will have translators for Vietnamese and Mandarin speakers. And please contact us if you'd like to help communicating with these members of our community. So that's coming up next week. Oh, no doubt I'll have a little bit more news and events. Hopefully I can cram into the next bit of the show. But up next, I'll be talking to Rochelle Anderson about the new Boroondara e-bike library.
Help 3CR raise funds by donating your containers. Every eligible drink container that you return to a container deposit scheme recycling point earns 10 cents, which can really add up. 3CR is a donation partner for Victoria's Container Deposit Scheme. The scheme allows you to recycle selected aluminium, glass, or plastic containers and donate the funds earned to a not-for-profit organisation of your choice. Help us raise funds for the station. Search for Community Radio and choose 3CR next time you cash in your cans. Go to cdsvic.org.au for more information.
Today on Yarra Bosque User Group Radio on 3CR Community Radio in around Melbourne, Australia, I am catching up with someone who's involved with a local e-bike library in Boroondara.
I'm Rochelle Anderson and I'm the Centre Manager here at the Surry Hills Neighbourhood Centre. We're on Union Road, in the shop strips near where the pedestrian crossing is. And I'm delighted to be able to announce the fact that we have a pilot program running between now and the 8th of December for people to be able to come and borrow from us a free e-bike as a trial for 2 weeks.
Can you give us a bit of a rundown on, like, this is specifically for people in the city of Boroondara?
That's correct. So you need to live in the city of Boroondara. You need to be 18 and you need to be able to prove that you live in the city of Boroondara. So we're going to need to cite your license, or if you don't have a license, we'd need to cite a bill or a rates notice or something like that.
You can have this bike for a fortnight and try it out.
You absolutely can. So for no cost whatsoever, except for a small fee to cover some insurance that you need to have, you get to borrow the bike for 2 weeks and you can use it to your heart's content. There are actually two bikes that we loan out, and one of them comes complete with a child seat that can actually carry a small adult or two small children. And you can have attached to either bike a child seat. So a baby seat. So one bike will have a child seat attached. You can also have a baby seat if you want. The other bike is just a solo person bike, but you can also have a baby seat on the back of that one. You can also borrow some panniers if that's what you want, which to enhance the storage. And both of the bikes come with a really nice big cargo bag on the front, so that you can carry your shopping or you can put your laptop in there if you're going to use it to commute to work. And you can ride as far as you like during those 2 weeks.
With the actual bikes, do you give people a rundown of how to care for charging unit and all that sort of stuff? Because we've done this on the show previously. There is a lot more to it. As long as it's simple, but as long as you know, like, not to undercharge, overcharge, what sort of mode you've got it in, you walk people through this?
Yeah, absolutely. So when somebody decides to hire a bike or borrow a bike, I should say, you do so through our website. And at that point, you make a pickup appointment, which runs for about half an hour. So assuming that you've got all your documentation to us and we've seen your insurance and we've seen your proof of address and age, et cetera, it will take us around half an hour to run through the bike with you. And we've been trained. We had a great training session last week and it's just amazing. So we can show you how to charge your battery, how far you should be able to go. We'll be able to check, we get you to test that you can actually ride the bike. So we've got a back lane and you just need to do a little ride up and back to make sure that you can ride a bike. And of course you need to bring your helmet for that. But it takes about a half an hour to run you through how to use the bike and how to charge it at home.
Sounds great. And I've got to ask, what sort of bikes have you got?
Okay, so we've got one's called a cargo bike and the other an e-cargo bike. And the other one, I can't remember what the brand is. I'm terribly sorry, but they are top of the range. They're, if you wanted to buy that exact same bike, the one that takes the children's seat is around $8,000. And the one that has the, this is just the plain e-bike without the kids' seat, they're about $4,000. So they really are top of the range. We're giving you the best of the best to have a go and see what you like.
And this is the bit that absolutely fascinates me about e-cargo bike libraries, because these are starting up all over the place. Hobart's just kicked off one. It's really popular. Yep. Marybeck's had one for a while. Canberra, it's Sea Change. Now, it's this a really interesting price point where you can get started easier than with a car, but it's still,
absolutely.
But it's still quite exy. Really, isn't it? You just gave the prices for that. It's a bit spendy.
Yeah, it is. Well, what Marybeck found when they did their trial, we're basing ours off their pilot program, is that people didn't want to spend that kind of money. So, however, in Burundara, there might be people who want to spend and get the best of the best, but you can actually get a really functional e-bike for about $2,500. But even if you were looking at the one that's worth about $8,000 that you trial with us, that takes the two kids or a small adult as well as the rider, of course, it's much cheaper to buy an e-bike for $8,000, even if you did want the top of the range one, rather than having something that that puts out so many carbon emissions by having a second car.
Living with arthritis can bring tough questions. How do I manage the pain? What treatments work? Will it ever get better? It can feel overwhelming. That's why the Arthritis Info Line is here to help. It's a toll-free service with trained staff who understand arthritis and can provide answers, support and resources. If you're living with arthritis or caring for someone who is, call 1-800-011-041 or visit arthritisaustralia.com.au/infoline. You don't have to face it alone.
A 3CR supporter.
Price point on these again. I'm getting into some really boring stuff, but if you're running a house, you know, you've got household economics, this is really important stuff, is that these things don't depreciate as much as a car. Got a really good resale value on these.
Yeah, they absolutely do. They really are good value for money too. And you don't, like I said, you don't have to buy the really exy one that's, you know, $5,000 or $8,000. You can start, an e-bike starts at $2,500. So they are much more affordable than a second car.
Don't you think I'd kind of hesitate a little bit on going too lower end is the battery issues around low end e-bikes. So we've always got to be a little bit careful there. You just said you had some contact with the Marybeck scheme. That's...
Yeah, so Burundara, who we're lending these out on behalf of, have spoken to Marybeck and found out all about how their trial worked, and we're piloting our program based on what they did. The demographics we've got here are a little bit different than to people in Marybeck, for example. We're not necessarily expecting that the most popular bike will be the one with the child seats. We might find, for example, that we have a sort of an older demographic here that people might not necessarily need to carry their kids, and they might just want the one, the normal e-bike that takes one person. But there is the child-friendly one as well, and, you know, we might find that there are lots of families out there who are wanting to give this a go, and we'd love to help them.
I don't know if you've heard this anecdotally as well, people from, you know, middle to outer suburbs, there's a lot of older people getting on e-bikes because they realise it flattens things out for them, and it's better than getting into something a bit further along like motorised chair.
Lots of people, as they sort of downscale their riding, will want to add an e-bike into the mix so that they're not necessarily having to pedal as hard and as fast. So they're great when you're going up a hill, just evens things out. They're great if you just like got tired legs and you turn the motor on. The motor comes in three different speeds, so you can really, really zoom up a hill if you want to. Or if you're carrying two kids and the shopping and you still want to go up the hill, the motor will get you up the hill.
Yeah, but just remember, turbo depletes the battery real fast.
It does, but you should still get, and if you're just chuffing around the suburbs, you should still get no trouble.
People are interested in the e-bike library in Boroondara, and you just said you're based at the community house there. What really are the specifics they need to know if they want to be involved? I mean, you just said it earlier, but there's anything that we've missed out on?
You need to sign a waiver as well, so that indemnifies Boroondara against any, and the neighbourhood centre here, against any issues down the track. We need to have a photograph of where you're going to store the bike, and you need to agree to lock it at all times, even when it isn't home, unless it's, of course, locked inside your house. But it comes with a bike lock. You don't have to supply that. All you need to do is supply your helmet and make sure that you've got the insurance that we require. And that really is just a membership from Bicycle Network Victoria. It's about $13.85 a month, and then you can cancel it after you've used your 2 weeks of insurance by borrowing the bike from us.
After someone's had it for 2 weeks or whatever period they've had, do you do follow up with people if they want to find out more? You've got another dealer or someone you can send them to if they're interested?
Yep. So there are two things that we ask you to do, one before and one after you borrow the bike. One is a survey, before survey and an after survey. And we're looking for sort of intentions of how often you used it. It does have an Apple tracking device on it, but it doesn't have a GPS. So it doesn't know how far you're going. It just shows where you're going at any point in time. So Boroondara, the survey will ask you about where did you go and how often did you use it. And of course, if you decide that you do want to have one, we have a dealer who's in Brunswick who would be very happy to talk to you and provide you with more information should you decide that this is the sort of bike for you. Yeah, it's really well thought through, and we're very much looking forward to being part of this pilot program. So after we've had the bikes here until December, then they're going to go to the Greythorne Neighbourhood House, or the hub at Greythorne, and then possibly on to the Camberwell Community Centre as well. So it's an 18-month trial that Boroondara are running. And I guess depending on the outcome of how often the bikes have been taken and how much demand there is for them, it might continue to be a long-term thing, which is what we're really hoping will happen. However, I don't want to give any commitments on behalf of Boroondara at this point, because I'm not a Boroondara employee. I manage the neighbourhood centre here. But we're really, really thrilled that Boroondara are doing this, because it's a wonderful opportunity for people to give it a go and see if an e-bike is for them.
In Derribon and Yarra, I could just say, I'm feeling a bit jealous. Maybe our councils need to get on board a bit more.
Maybe they do.
I know. Yeah. I'm super jelly of all this. I'd really love to have something like that.
Public transport's great.
What's not great is that unless you've got a radio with you, you can't listen to 3CR when you're on it.
Until now. The Community Radio Plus app lets you listen to us wherever you are.
Get on board and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
E-bike from us, just jump on the website that I'm about to give you. It is www.spacetoco.org.au, or you can ring the Neighbourhood Centre here at 9890 2467, and you can either go through our Space to Co website, which is our room hire platform, and we've decided to put the bikes up there, or you can contact us as well through our website or through that phone number I just gave you.
So you've had a bit of a crack on one of these yourself? You've gone for a ride?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're a bit of fun, actually.
Oh, the power assist is really odd. For those of us who are used to being on an acoustic bike, or whatever you want to call it, and then you get, in the last, 5-10 years, people start using e-bikes, and it's like, it's very interesting. And then you go, I really like this. I like it.
Indeed. You just got to make sure that you don't start it in turbo, as I do, and you go whoosh, and then you get a bit of a fright. So you can do that when you're experienced, but when you're first getting on it, don't start it in turbo. Start it in low.
Yeah, you'll teach people all this stuff when you're going through, like, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they'll probably do the same as me. And it's no big deal. It just is a bit disconcerting when it happens.
It's been great chatting today. I hope this proves as an inspiration for your program. It sounds like it's been pretty well designed.
We're very excited about it. Thanks, Chris.
That's all I've got time for today on Yarra Bosco Users Group Radio on 3CR. Now, thank you to Ferocial from, it was the Surrey Hills Neighbourhood House, if I've got the name right there, for the Burundara E-Bike Library. And today, as I mentioned in the intro, that there'll be a celebration of John Engelhardt's life from noon to 4 p.m. up in Faulkner. And this thing keeps on messing up on me to give you the full details. St. Mark's up there at the hall. Now, I hope to see you there. And also, I was just going to mention just very quickly, Parks Victoria have put out another Gipps Street Elevated Path Community Update. And the bit you want to know about is this. Parks Victoria is on track to complete this project by December 2025. Oh, that is music to my ears. I really hope they crack on and get it done, because, by God, we've been on this for over 20 years, if not longer. And the update includes access stairs with gate and handrail to be done, planting on the north side, the pits and pipes and ground in drainage upgrades, installation of rock walls, and works to backfill and compact the topsoil right next to the Salvation Army, because there was a whole bunch of stuff needed to be done there, including piling the foundations, and a retaining wall needs to be installed at the end of Gipps Street, and structural supports. So we've got that mirrored off the Yarrabug website, which is yarrabug.org. You can check that out. Or you go to Parks Vic and get on the very informative little newsletter stuff for the Gipps Street ramps stuff. Now, we're all volunteers at... us announcers are all volunteers at 3CR, and we really need your subscriptions and donations to stay on air. So go on 3cr.org.au and look for subscribe, donate, and all fundraiser options, because we just come out of Radiothon, and thank you, we did make our target. And podcast should be uploaded today at the same website, and out on our socials. Up next is Shebop, followed by Black Block. Nothing ever felt so right. If you could do this all day,
B-I-K-E. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.